You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My brain was able to have so many thoughts in that moment, between these screams and these yells of, where is she? Where is she? And so I go down and I thought I was going to die.
We have to be honest when we're telling these stories, because otherwise, if we're dishonest or we exaggerate claims, then it waters down the truth and the authenticity of everyone else that has shared their stories to this date.
February 5th, 2021, you heard AOC talk about she thought she was going to die. And then you heard the reasoned story of Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, who was just two doors down from the office of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she's facing the same situation that Cortez was at that point. Entirely different take. And as she said, Congresswoman Mace, we have to make sure we stick to the facts so we don't diminish real stories when they come up. That's what she's suggesting. AOC, in her the other day, when she first started talking about the attack upon herself and at the Capitol at January 6th, after I first heard it, I thought, so she was inside the House that day. That's, I could understand, should be frightening. No. She was not in the Capitol building. She was in the Cannon office building, maybe an 8 to 10 minute walk away. Now, I'm not saying she had no reason to be concerned. And yes, that building was evacuated for fear that there were explosives near and around the building. And a couple were found. That's a fact. But the way she tells the story is not exactly false, but it's not really built up on that much fact. It's embellished to the point where you just don't know the facts. You know what it is? I'll be very direct with you. And it's typical of the left. It is high drama. High drama for the sake of drama. I'm going to spend a lot of time on this issue today because this is one example of how the left manipulates, plays with feelings, emotions, touchy-feely. And so many of them are into it, they want you to just be with them. Shed some tears. Understand. We're going to break it down in several parts over the next 2 hours. I want you to hear how some of the mainstream media is coming rushing to the aid of AOC when they know darn well, see, I caught myself, I'd be very careful there. They know darn well it was not as she expressed it in the sense of what was really happening. Now, her personal feelings, she's entitled to that. But the drama, I feared for my life. And, of course, the left is gearing up rapidly on all fronts. To silence anyone who speaks out against their form of unity. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Giancarlo Canapero, heritage law expert, on how the left is already targeting the lawyers representing Trump. That might explain why the first team left or not, I don't know, but just because you're representing someone, they're going to team up on you? Oh, Joe Biden today sounding a dark note on the future of the economy. U.S. economy adding 49,000 jobs in December, only 6,000 jobs in the private sector. Biden says, at that rate, please listen. He says, at that rate, it's going to take 10 years to get back to full employment. He said, that's a fact. This is about people's lives, not just about numbers, but we can fix it. Well, how about you unsign your executive orders the other day and get the pipeline action started again, and then maybe some of those folks will have their jobs immediately. Nope. For now, he's killing hundreds of thousands of jobs, and he's saying that it's going to take 10 years to get back to full employment. Under you guys, there will be no full employment. Everyone will be under socialism, period. In this next story, I cannot make this next story up. You might see it during the Super Bowl. First Lady Jill Biden filming a public service announcement talking about how important it is to wear your mask for your dogs, to keep your dogs happy and safe and healthy. Wear your mask. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm ready for it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This wasn't an attack on Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was an attack on her voters. Marjorie Taylor Greene got more votes than I did, more votes than most of the people in the entire House of Representatives, I think about 75%. It was also a power grab for Washington, D.C. I think it's very dangerous when the Congress becomes the internet police or the social media police, sitting in judgment of the comments people made even before their time here. Matter of fact, we don't even really hold people accountable for the statements they make while they're in Congress. But now we see this Republican woman specifically targeted, and I think there is a double standard.
There clearly is a double standard. Those are the words, of course, of Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, Republican, talking about the Democrat hypocrisy, as they took a vote to strike Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, from two committee assignments. Her response, you know what? I'm fine with being kicked off my committees because it'd be a waste of my time. So now I have a lot of time on my hands. She says, basically, They just don't know what they did. They gave me time to do something better because I couldn't never get anything done on these committees. They are basically tyrannically controlled government right now, and my voice would never be heard anyway. The House took that step, an unprecedented step, of removing Green from her committee assignments because she was espousing violence and conspiracy theories on social media before she was elected, to Congress in November. Now, yesterday, she took to the floor of the House and said, I got to say what I had done was wrong. And you know how freeing that is? I'm not kidding. I seriously feel blessed that I was wrong. I admit it. And she said, we're not all perfect. 230 to 199, the vote was bipartisan. 11 11 Republicans joining all the Democrats to oust Green from the Committee on Education and Labor and House Budget Committee. House Republicans had appointed Green to both panels just last month, shortly after she was brought into office, sworn into office. Of course, what she's saying, and also Matt Gaetz just said, they're not just hurting her, they're hurting her constituency. But the hypocrisy of the Democrats is what's really at play. We know that. We see it all the time. In the next hour, we're going to spend a lot of time on the stories from AOC on how I feared for my life. I thought I was going to die when she's building up on what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. The Capitol, where the House and Senate are seated. But her office was 7 to 10 minute walk away. And that's where she was at the time. But you know what she's doing right now? Listen to how they are gathering forces. This is typical circle the wagons. She is demanding her followers step up. If they're making, she says, look for those who are making fun of me on the conservatives, whatever they are saying, wherever they are, whatever media source they're using, such as Larry Connors USA. Oh, sorry, she did not mention me by name. But anyone who stands up and says, you're a little out of line there, your story is really over the top, and you don't need to be, well, she's wanting her followers to reach out to big tech. In other words, shut it down. Shut you down. Here's what she stated. As we speak, right-wing operatives with millions of followers. Thank you very much. I have millions. I appreciate that. As we speak, right-wing operatives with millions of followers on social media are spreading flat-out lies and misleading information about Alexandria. But with your help, we can force Twitter and Facebook to take action and enforce their own rules. Scan your social media to find posts with misleading information, and then go right to Twitter, Facebook, and complain. Well, you remember, of course, I pointed out to you the other day that other protests we've had throughout the nation for the last summer, many, many members, Democrats, spoke out and supporting them and encouraging them and giving them a right to go ahead and called for more violence. Remember, Kamala Harris even stepped forward as senator at that time, running for president, and then later on the ticket as a VP. She helped solicit money to bail out the rioters who destroyed Minneapolis, or parts of it, I should say. And, of course, Congresswoman Maxine Waters has called on Democrats in the past to seek out Republicans in public places and create a crowd, push back on them, tell them they're not welcome here. And Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, leading a mob on the steps of the Supreme Court while a case was being heard, shouting out, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, you will pay the price. Is that not threatening? Should that kind of language be brought up before members of Congress, say, if you're going to shut down Marjorie Taylor Greene for something she did before she even was running for Congress, and she admits now, I got misled, I was bad and I was stupid, but I say now it's wrong, but that's too bad. You've already done it once. Where is the balance of going after these three I just named? Waters, Schumer, Harris, and that's just three of them. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, on an interview with Breitbart, talked about how the Democrats are always, and I want you to listen closely to this, he said they're always kind of outlandish in their approach.
Make no mistakes, plenty of Democrats that do and say outlandish things too. I mean, Ilhan Omar has made multiple anti-Semitic statements. Maxine Waters urged mobs to attack Trump administration officials. Eric Swalwell cavorted with a Chinese spy. Chuck Schumer threatened two Supreme Court justices if they didn't rule the way he wanted. I don't see MSNBC and CNN and the liberal media calling them out for it. Should Ilhan Omar, who's made multiple anti-Semitic statements, be sitting on the Foreign Relations Committee? Should Eric Swalwell cavorting with a Chinese spy be sitting on the Intelligence Committee? This is a very dangerous precedent that the Democratic majority in the House wants to set when they're on the precipice of losing that majority next year. More broadly, Alex, I would say that, of course, what Democrats and the liberal media want to do is to leverage a fringe of extremist statements and violence from the right against mainstream conservatives in a way that they would never do on the left.
They would never do, and they have not done, and we're going to give you more examples where the mainstream media gives the left a pass when they reach to that far, far left, outlandish, assaulting, disturbing, threatening statements. It's almost like, you know, somebody stuck their finger in the top of the cake here and got a little bit of the icing off. We don't want everybody to see that, so let's kind of smooth what icing we have back over it so we can cover it up. One of those who was standing with Omar today at an interview, I should say, with CBS as they were almost fawning over her, what she faced and so forth, was Congressman Jason Crow, Democrat of Colorado. Now, you have to keep it. And Crow was inside the House. Crow was inside the House. There's a picture of him kind of leaning forward, trying to comfort a fellow congresswoman who was, she's laying down on the pew. Don't know if she was having heart problems or what, but she was obviously frightened and going into panic. And you can't take that away from them. I would not even try to do that. They were in the midst of all these people yelling and shouting. They were in the Capitol. AOC was not. And Congressman Jason Crow, Democrat of Colorado, deserves credit and recognition for how he has served this country previously as an Army Ranger in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he says, trauma is an interesting thing, how it comes around. And sometimes you get flashback. And he is one that is qualified to speak. I would not detract from his statements other than to say it is his story. Others handle it differently. But again, listen to Congressman Jason Crow, previously Army Ranger in Iraq and Afghanistan, when it comes to dealing with trauma.
I never thought in an instant that I would be right back into that type of scenario that I experienced as an Army Ranger in Iraq and Afghanistan of being fearful for my life or having to fight for my life. But that's what happened on January 6th, and we have to deal with it.
And they have to deal with it. Now, again, I want to stress to you, Congressman Crow was actually in the Capitol when all this was going down. He was photographed being in the House at the time while the mob was shouting and breaking and trying to break their way in shortly before the woman broke through the glass or climbed through the glass window and was shot by a Capitol Security officer. He has experienced combat, and he said it kind of flashed back on that. He's not embellishing it. He's just simply saying what he saw, and it no doubt re-triggered in his mind. I never thought I would be in the U.S. Capitol having the same kind of feelings and sense as if I were still back in Afghanistan, Iraq. I'm not going to challenge his approach or his remarks at all. And in fact, he did use this, thank goodness, I'm going to give him credit. Again, this is a Democrat congressman from Colorado. I'm going to give him credit because he also decided, while we're talking about this kind of trauma, we have it replicated in various ways across this nation, in various parts of our society, regardless of gender, race, religion. Please listen.
I think what's important to understand is that, you know, trauma, whether it's combat trauma in my instance or other types of trauma, it is outside the realm of normal human experience, and that everybody is impacted, whether they know it or not. And they're impacted in different ways, on different timelines. And we are not good as a society at dealing with trauma. And why Alexandria and I are here is because one of the biggest problems as a nation, as a society, is the stigma that's put on survivors. And that prevents survivors from actually coming forward and getting the help that they need. And it's killing people. You know, we have over 20 veterans a day that kill themselves because of the stigma that prevents them from getting help. And other survivors deal with that stigma, too. And it has to stop.
I agree wholeheartedly with what he just said. The only thing he did do is he linked in to AOC's trauma. Now, again, if she were truly that frightened, it's her story. But two doors down, another congresswoman said, that wasn't that frightening. I mean, we had to evacuate and listen to what we were being done, but there's no reason to be frightened, not to the extent AOC was suggesting it. And something Congressman Crow said, victims sometimes are stigmatized and won't speak out. And he was basically applauding AOC for sharing her story. The problem is, Congressman, on that point, I will disagree with you. She is doing it not to help anyone, although she will give you that storyline. She is doing it for drama and her personal cachet to build up her own worth. There was business taking place in the Capitol last night, in the Senate, a marathon. And this proves what we've said. Elections have consequences. Even Barack Obama admitted it. Wait to hear what happened. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I know you recall I emphasized over and over again how important the Georgia election was, that those two Senate positions needed to be continued held by Republicans. Otherwise, you would have a 50-50 split in the Senate. That means the tying vote would go to the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Well, that's exactly what happened. So no one should be surprised. Tie-breaking vote last night, as they were trying to stop from moving ahead under a process called budget reconciliation, came down to 50 Republicans against it, 50 Democrats, and Vice President Harris, tie-breaking vote. And Senate Majority Leader Schumer hit at Republicans saying they're pushing messaging amendments to score political points. Not to that extent. Senate Minority Leader McConnell said, we did want to put senators on the record. They took 41 roll call votes on numerous issues. That was a Senate marathon votorama starting yesterday and into early morning today, 15 hours. 50-50 vote split, like I say, when they evenly split by the Senate along party lines and on various issues. Siding vote as needed coming from Vice President Kamala Harris. Senator Scott, Republican South Carolina, introduced amendments supporting reducing federal money going to states where there's an investigation into underreporting nursing home deaths. It didn't pass. Senator Roy Blunt, Republican of Missouri, an amendment opposing coronavirus relief funding for schools that don't reopen after teachers had a chance to get the vaccine. It did not pass. Senator Toomey, Republican of Pennsylvania, an amendment opposing sanctuary cities. It did not pass. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, an amendment supporting President Trump's Remain in Mexico program. It did not pass. Senator Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, an amendment supporting the continued construction of the border wall. Are you surprised? It did not pass. Senator Mike Lee, Utah, an amendment opposing violating free exercise of religion. That did not pass. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, an amendment opposing court packing. It did not pass. Senator Bill Cassidy, Republican, Louisiana, an amendment to oppose coronavirus stimulus payments for prisoners. It did not pass. Senator Scott of Florida, an amendment supporting border security and immigration enforcement, did not pass. Senator Marco Rubio, an amendment that also supported the Remain in Mexico policy, the migrant protection protocols. In other words, if you're coming into this nation for asylum, you stay there. That was part of what Trump put in place. What do you think happened? You want to flip a coin? You want me just to tell you? I think you know. It did not pass. Schumer introduced an amendment to strip away three GOP-sponsored amendments that had passed earlier in the night with bipartisan majorities, amendments to oppose stimulus checks for illegal aliens, oppose Biden's decision to cancel Keystone XL, and support fracking. Harris casting a tie-breaking vote in support of Schumer as needed. Yep, we kept warning everyone. Now you have to deal with it. Coming up, threats being made against lawyers simply because they represented Trump. And if they can do that to them, you not imagine you could also be a target? You don't want to miss this next segment.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We want to welcome Giancarlo Canapero of the Heritage Foundation, an expert on constitutional law. Glad to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I was looking at a piece that you co-authored with Hans von Spakovsky. The title itself says everything. This was in the Daily Signal, folks. Title, Lawyers Are Facing Reprisal for Representing Trump. This is un-American. A clear statement, an understandable statement, a factual statement. And they're going after anyone who represented Trump recently or at any time. Is that correct, or where are we now?
That's right. I mean, a number of lawyers, be they the lawyers who worked on tangential parts of his case at Jones Day, who were targeted by that organization that called itself the Lincoln Project, a professor who advised Donald Trump on various legal issues, a lawyer who simply was on a telephone call that the president was on, and a number of the lawyers who represented him in a couple of election-related lawsuits, all being targeted one way or another, whether it's cultural, social attacks on social media, getting fired from their places of employment, or in the case of four lawyers in Michigan, the governor herself is trying to get them disbarred because she disagrees so fundamentally with the implications of the lawsuit that they lost had they won.
To get them disbarred. Well, you guys provide balance in this. You point out Hillary Clinton had been attacked previously for serving as a court-appointed attorney for defending a child rapist, and then lawyers for the Guantanamo Bay detainees also attacked by generally conservatives and so forth, correct?
Right. This is an issue that people on both sides of the aisle like to forget from time to time and remember from time to time. But this is where consistency is key. It is a fundamental tenet of equal justice under the law that lawyers don't get attacked for filling their role in the legal process. If you are a criminal defense attorney and you have to represent somebody who you know is guilty, you are doing the system a service by upholding the rule of law. You are not a bad person because you're defending a criminal and ensuring that the process has integrity. Likewise, if you are a prosecutor and a progressive says, how can you possibly prosecute crimes when our justice system is racist? You are not a bad person because you are fulfilling your role in the process. People on both sides of the political aisle will attack lawyers when they don't like the case or the client that they represent, but that is un-American. And I'll give you an example. You go back right before the country was even founded. John Adams, who became president, defended British soldiers who attacked Americans during the Boston Massacre. You could not imagine
right.
a less popular representation for one of the founding fathers than to defend British soldiers who killed Americans. But he did it because he said, we are a nation of laws and not of men, and it is essential to a system of neutral and equal justice under the law that lawyers be not attacked for their independence.
I do know that years ago I had considered going into law, took the LSAT, scored high, was ready to go. I was going to go to Houston. I was in Texas. That was the only night law school in the state, but I quickly realized a law professor doesn't understand you skipping the class to go cover a fire, because I was also working as a reporter at the time, trying to pay my way. But I had already decided, I mean, or let me say this, it was already in my mind going through the quandary of, what do I do if I'm representing someone I know is guilty? And I've had that discussion with other criminal defense attorneys. And, of course, generally they say we don't specifically ask that. But either way, we have to make sure that they get a fair trial, even if it means some I was not dotted and some T not crossed. It's still basic technicality of fairness. Your thoughts?
That's right. And when you attack a lawyer because you don't like their client or you don't like their client's case, what you're doing is you're undermining the fairness and the integrity of the legal process. And when the governor of Michigan goes after Trump's lawyers because she doesn't like what would have happened if they had won their lawsuits and tries to get them disbarred, that's exactly what she's doing. She is undermining the rule of law.
All right. I do want to break out the difference, though. I mean, we're talking on one aspect, criminal law. What you're describing with her is more a political attack. And that's pretty much where we are right now with anyone going after Trump lawyers for anything. It may or may not, they may try to hide it in the face of, well, he's, you know, Trump's guilty and the way he's run his business and everything else. But the case in front of them is not that. The case has to be, at this point, you know, the impeachment trial and related issues. It's revenge reprisal. That's all I see.
That's right. They're taking their dislike and their attacks of President Trump to anyone remotely connected with him, even if it's his lawyers and even if it means undermining the integrity and neutrality of the legal process, of legal system in the process.
Yep.
And remember, look, these lawyers in Michigan, they brought suits to challenge the integrity of elections in Michigan, right? They lost their suits. So there is no, even from Governor Whitmer's perspective, there's no danger that these lawyers pose. Now, if these lawyers actually violated their ethical duties and didn't just take a case that she really doesn't like, but if they actually violated their ethical duties, the court will handle it.
That's
right. The court has procedures in place. There is no reason to circumvent those procedures and make it a political attack against them and go straight to the bar and try to get them disbarred other than politics.
I want to come back to that point, but before I do, while we're talking about that kind of action of claiming that, and that's the whole thing, of course, Trump apparently does want to have reinstated in this impeachment trial in the Senate, and I think his attorneys are trying to tell him, or at least the previous team, just stick to the facts of you supposedly inciting the insurrection that happened that day. But we have a Democrat, and I mentioned this to the audience yesterday, a Democrat lawyer, Mark Elias, who claimed that in the New York 22nd District, voting machines weren't working correct. In other words, he's claiming voter fraud involving those machines. This is a Democrat. Anybody talking about disbarring him for such remarks?
Right. His claim is analogous to the lawsuits that the Trump's lawyers in Michigan brought. You won't see Democrats attacking him for trying to undermine the integrity of the elections. And you won't see me do it either. Because the thing about lawyers' independence is they get to bring these claims and they get to be fought out in fairness before a court of law. And you don't attack the lawyer for the implications of their cases.
Now, the other point that you were alluding to a moment ago about the governor in Michigan wanting to go to the bar and get them disbarred, how would that play out if she actually tried? I mean, is there a route that she could take that would lead to that position, an action, I should say, by the bar?
Yeah, there are two ways that a bar can reach that decision. So the way to do this, which is fair and nonpartisan, is to allow the court to entertain a motion for sanctions. Because after all, when a lawyer violates his or her ethical obligations, what he's doing is damaging the court. And this all happens in front of the court. So the court, as a neutral arbiter and the first witness to this alleged misbehavior, is the best place, the judge is the best person to decide whether they've done that. If the judge imposes sanctions for a violation of misconduct, then the bar can take that, trust that it is, you know, the product of a fair process, and then discipline accordingly. Alternatively, the bar can do an investigation on its own at the behest of the governor, which is how this process is working out. She's filed a complaint to the bar before them. Now, the bar will do its own investigation. The problem with that is you can't trust the bar to be a neutral arbiter. Most bar associations, most states are run by very liberal people. Number two, the bar is also not the firsthand witness to these events. The judge is. The judge can also have the power to call the lawyers in and examine them and question their motives, weigh that against how they practiced before the judge. The judge is in a vastly superior position than the bar association to analyze these claims, and the judge is much less likely to have any sort of partisan interest in the case, whereas bar associations generally do.
All right, you nailed something I was going to wrap up with anyway. You're listening to Giancarlo Canaparo of the Heritage Foundation, and that is the fact that this is simply a political move. It has nothing to do with facts of the case whatsoever. If it's born in politics, it's going through a process of politics, there is no legal justification, there's no law involved. It's all what we can do to extract our pound of flesh.
Right. If Governor Whitmer in Michigan really cared about the integrity of the process and making sure that the lawyers in that lawsuit had, you know, didn't conduct any or weren't engaged in any misconduct, the first thing she would do is stay out of it.
That's a good idea, by the way. I was second there. Go ahead.
That's right. The way to go forward is to allow the lawyers who litigated the suit against them to file a sanctions motion in the court, allow the judge to fairly go through that process, and then if the judge decides to impose sanctions, take the judge's order to the bar.
All right.
That is the fair and neutral and non-political way to do this.
And in one final 30 seconds, if they could do it to Trump, they could certainly do it to any citizen that they consider a political enemy.
Oh, certainly. Any lawyer who has a case or client that they don't like, they can take it to the bar. And if the bar decides to share in the political determination of this, you know, you can be disbarred.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure.
You bet. We'll do it again. Giancarlo Canaparo of the Heritage Foundation. Well, let's continue this discussion on the other side about censorship, threats, and reprisals, and flat-out revenge.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We are going to see an increasing throttle hold upon any conservative outlet or person. Let me give you an example. Just one of many that we've got swirling around us right now. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was on the floor making remarks about Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, yesterday. MSNBC anchor Nicole Wallace said, "We're cutting away. What you're watching right now isn't true." Well, from the House floor, McCarthy said, they, talking about House members, Democrats, as they pushed to impeach Trump, he said they rushed impeachment through without a shred of due process, just like today. reducing this tool from the highest constitutional remedy to just another opportunity to fundraise and go on TV. Now, I don't know at what point the anchor suddenly said, oh, we're cutting away. What you're watching now isn't true. Well, what he said in the quotes I just read you, I think it's pretty close to the fact. Does it sound a little partisan? Could be. Doesn't mean it's not true. You can be partisan and be factually correct. You can be partisan and be absolutely an idiot. McCarthy also said, never before in the history of this House has the majority abused its power in this way. Is that fact or fiction? I'd say it's fact. He said, never in the entire history of this House have they ever abused the power in this way. Again, I'd say fact. But it is clear that Speaker Pelosi's caucus thinks differently. Yeah, I would agree with that. They are blinded by partisanship and politics. Again, another fact. So at what point did suddenly Nicole Wallace and MSNBC say, what you're watching right now isn't true? Isn't true. He went on to say, as far as the membrane question, he's talking about Congresswoman Green. As far as her past comments and post as a private citizen, they do not represent values of my party. As a Republican, as a conservative, as an American, I condemn those views. I condemn when they first surfaced. I condemn them today. He said, I made it clear with Representative Green. But, of course, the House moved forward anyway by that vote to strip her of those two committees. And 11 Republicans joined the vote to do so. You can disagree with them. You don't have to go ahead and say, yeah, that's worth taking her out of the office now. But this is something that took place and she had stated before she ever became a member of Congress. How far back do you want to go in someone's history? How far back? Doesn't make it right if it happened then or now, but if you're already a member of Congress, yeah, it's a higher standard. Well, then look at what's happening right now with Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri and Ted Cruz of Texas, both Republicans, because they were simply moving to object to the 2020 presidential election. They were doing that based on the same law and the same preface Democrats did after Trump won, and they challenged more states than the Republicans did this time when it came to the count and the verification and certification of the electoral votes. The same exact thing. But because it involved Trump, and the Democrats hate Trump more than they love this country, I should say many of them. I don't think that's true of all Democrats. But many of them hate Trump more than they love this country. And so what you have the Senate Ethics Committee Democrats doing, they're going to investigate Hawley and Cruz and their objection, but they've already expressed judgments. They've already indicated where they're going with it. Three Senate Democrats on the committee, including Chairman Chris Coons, Democrat Delaware, said Hawley and Cruz should resign. Senator Shaheen of Democrat New Hampshire said, Hawley's plan is outrageous, borders on sedition or treason. So those comments are already there. Do you think there's going to be a fair hearing on when they try to bring this up? Of course, there's not going to be. We're now in a Twilight Zone story that I don't think we could even begin to imagine. And it's not going to get any better for a while. That's why this program is going to be more important than ever. And I appreciate your support. And I appreciate you spreading the word. I appreciate the sponsors on here. I appreciate you supporting my sponsors. Even if you don't need their product, call them and tell them, thanks for supporting Larry Connors USA. We've also launched Larry Connors USA YouTube. We're just starting it. We want to make some changes, but we want to get it up. But it is at Larry Connors USA YouTube, available for you now as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get more into the story of AOC and her touchy-feely story of how threatened she was when another congresswoman two doors down said, I wasn't that frightened. I wasn't. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
KXEN St. Louis.